So you know what? Let me just open up with prayer for this 2025 year for each and every one of us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the blessings we all receive in 2024. But Lord, for 2025, let it be a year of new beginnings, new transformations, because without revelation, there's no transformation, Lord. Let what I'm going to be sharing today be a little revelation for each and every one here that will begin to start transformation in their lives, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that this year will be a new year of new wine, new anointing, new blessings, new wisdom, new knowledge. Lord, let it be a thing of new for each and every one here today and for our families and for those online, Lord. We just thank you and continue to allow your Holy Spirit to guide, gird, and guard us in 2025. All these things I ask in your name. Amen. 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 So this morning, I've been given the task to cover what is happening in the month of January. And of course, as Pastor John was saying, that January, we start off the year with our 21 days of prayer and fasting. So how many of you, you don't have to raise hands, I don't want to see, have started with your New Year's resolution? Things that, how's it go? Things that we're going to start. We're going to start reading the Bible more. We're going to start praying more. We're going to start exercising. We're going to start losing weight. We're going to start eating healthier. Maybe we're going to start coming to our 8:30 Bible study on Sunday. That's a great start. Well, how about the things that maybe we're going to stop? What can I say? Stop drinking alcohol. Ooh, I don't want to go there. Stop smoking. I don't want to go there either. Stop making excuses when it comes to the things of God. Oh, Lord, I just felt that prick on my heart right there. Rather than resolutions, today I want to give you a solution for all those start and stops that you have in your lives. And that solution is what we are starting with the first 21 days is prayer and fasting. Give those things, those start and stops that we struggle with, give it to God and see how he's going to work through that. But it's not only just giving it to God. We have our part that we need to do also, which is prayer and fasting, which I'm going to just touch on just a little this morning. Is one of the points I'm going to give you. For the past 7 years, in fact, even more than 7 years, here at the Door of Faith, January 1st to the 21st was our 21 days of prayer and fasting. But this year, the Lord was speaking to our pastor, and he would say, rather than calling it prayer and fasting, let's call it going deep. And you know, I truly believe that's for God, because the very first words that John Bevere said this morning in our Bible study lesson was, we need to start going deep for God. So I could see how this, our prayer and fasting, is going deep. So let me just explain what going deep looks like when it comes to prayer. And there's a lot of things, but I'm going to touch on 10 examples. It's going to be real quick. 10 examples. And listen to these examples and see if you can begin to use it in your prayer life in this year of 2025. Engage in more intimate and personal conversations with God. Align your heart and mind. Just remember, your heart and mind is only 18 inches apart. Mind your heart and mind with his will, often involving deep meditation, thankfulness, and a willingness to listen to his guidance beyond just asking for things. Too many times, we just keep on asking, but we never try to hear what he has to hear, tell us. And I think that's truly the most important thing, because he knows what we're praying to him. But we need to know what he's telling us. Amen. So let 2025 be a year that we begin to tune our ears to God's frequency, because too many times our ears are tuned to other things. So that's another point. Find a quiet space where you can focus from all distractions. Write down your thoughts and feelings. You can use this right here. This is what Pastor Pat and her people made this for us for the 21 days of fasting. And we could use this for this next point. Write down your thoughts and feelings before and during prayer to gain clarity. Then write down what you feel God is saying to you in response. And this is, I learned this in college. This is called two-way journaling. And you can do that. I want to give a testimony. One time I had this, when I learned about two-way journaling, I had this situation that it was just something that was so hard and there was no results from it. And it was just, nothing was happening. So I tried this two-way journey. I asked God, God, help me with this situation and what I need to say to certain people. And after I asked that question, I began to just pray and just be still. And I just started downloading what I felt in my spirit, what he was telling me to say and do. So as I wrote this down, and then when that time came for me to meet with this person and go over these things, I went and did exactly what was given to me from God. And the whole thing, the whole meeting was incredible. There was breakthrough. There was, there was that wall that was between me and the other person was broken. So truly, this really works. And so I challenge you, doing this 21 days, use this going deep journal that you, and if you didn't get it, Brother Doug has it in the back, and start your two-way journey. What you want God, listen to God, what he has to say to you. Another point is read scripture slowly and thoroughly, allowing it to speak to your heart while praying. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide your prayers and even beyond words. In other words, let's pray in the holy language, as Pastor Steve had this morning. Our prayer was powerful. Examining our heart and acknowledging the area in our life that need to repent for. We all have things that we need to repent for, and seeking God's forgiveness. Praying deeply for others, carrying their burdens and needs before God with compassion, praying with others in small groups to share and encourage one another. And lastly, attend our prayer services on Tuesday morning at 10, Wednesday at 6:30 p.m., and Saturday morning at 6:30, where you can put all those points into action. Amen? And the next thing is, what does going deep look like when it comes to fasting? Because the first 21 days is prayer and fasting. And let me just explain kind of what fasting is considered an important spiritual practice. I know there's some that do fasting intimately, periodically for doing like cleansing. And what it does is you're restricting your body of all the impurities that we constantly feed. You know, we all go to McDonald's, we all have plate lunches and all these things, but when we fast these things that are not good for us, it cleanses, it detoxes our body. And a lot of people do intermittent fasting to do such a thing, but this is, I'm not talking about that physical, I'm talking about the spiritual practice. It signifies a deep commitment to God to express humility, seeking God's guidance, repent for sins, mourn a loss, or demonstrate a passionate desire for prayer. And that's how important prayer and fasting is to come together. Because remember that story in the Bible about the demon-possessed boy when the disciples couldn't cast out the demon? Then later on, Jesus tells them why. He said, because this kind of thing doesn't come out but with prayer and fasting. So that's how important prayer and fasting is. And let me point out a couple points what the people fast did when they fasted in the Bible, because we ought to do it also. And this is what they did. They did fasting to seek deliverance, to break free from sin, develop spiritual strength and resisting temptation. And I like this part. This is a real good one. Develop self-mastery. I have to look of that word, self-mastery, what that is. And basically what that is the ability to control yourself in all situations to move forward to reach your goals. So for me, back then, when I fasted for the first time, I fasted rice. I was the one that used to go eat plate lunch. I used to have 3-scoop rice, 2-scoop back salad. And when I fasted for the first time rice, my body's so used to eating a cup of rice a day. For the first 3 days, I experienced headaches just from not eating rice. Can you believe that? Just from not eating. But that's what it does. It's a self-mastery, letting me know that in this situation, when my body is not getting that craving of rice, and when I depleted from that craving, it helped me to move towards my goal. So I got to focus not on my flesh, my physical, but I got to focus on the spiritual. And that's how I got breakthrough that first year I fasted. I had major breakthroughs because I denied my flesh and I sought the spiritual. So I'm hoping that each and every one of you have started the fasting. And if not, please start. Because I truly believe at the end of 21 days, if anyone has a testimony, let one of the pastors know, myself, pastor, we'll let you share your testimony, because I truly believe when we pray and fast for things that we want to give to God, we can't do it on our own, truly, there's going to be breakthrough. Because in Galatians 5:24 it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus, that's each and every one of us, have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. So that's what fasting is all about. It's crucifying our flesh with the passions and desires and begin to focus our passions on the things for God. So it says here, listen to what it says. I just love this. God's spirit is calling our spirit to go deeper. As Pastor John was giving that word, go deeper. So each step we take for God will take us deeper with God. So remember that every step we take for God will take us deeper with God. So throughout this 21 days of prayer and fasting, we need to go deeper. Amen? And you might be asking, well, you know, I've never fasted before. What can I fast for? Well, maybe there's some specific needs like I had that you have been wrestling with that you can take to God to prayer and fasting, or you can pray for our church. When it comes to my second point, our annual focus will be entitled A Hunger for God. God impressed on Pastor John's heart to let 2025 be a year that we focus on a hunger for God. And I'm not talking about physical hunger, but I'm talking about a deep spiritual hunger for God, for his word, for his righteousness, for his presence. Because in John 6:35, it reads, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. This hunger and thirst are recognitions of our need for God. Too many times we're hungry and thirsty for things other than God. Just as physical hunger drives us to seek food, let our spiritual hunger drive us to seek God. Because it ensures that we won't become complacent. We won't become lukewarm. But it will drive us to seek a deep and lasting relationship with our Lord. Amen. Don't allow the enemy to make you feel satisfied and full, because that's the opposite of hunger. Amen. It's easy to understand physical hunger, because we satisfy that with food or other things that we put into our stomach, because we know how to satisfy that. That's something so easy that we can do to fill that up. But the meaning becomes even more difficult when we talk about spiritual hunger, which is a deep longing for more of God in our lives. That's what we need to focus on, the deep longing for more of God in our lives. And this kind of hunger is essential, is necessary, it's vital for our spiritual growth. Just like food is essential for our spirit, our physical growth. Amen. So I just want to make a point that spiritual growth is all about becoming more and more like Jesus. It's a lifelong journey. As we learned this morning with John Bevere, and Brother Gene mentioned that too many times we are on a trip when it comes to God. In other words, we just take one day at a time, but we need to be on a journey. It's a journey, because that will get you to eternity. Amen? We must seek a deeper connection with God with our whole heart. Here are a few things that we can feed our spiritual hunger with. Prayer, daily living in obedience to God's word, faith and trust in Jesus, performing acts of kindness. Surround yourself with believers. Be a giver. As Pastor John was talking about this morning for the Ibarra family, that's acts of kindness and being a giver of what the resources God has given us to bless a family who's hurting. Remind ourselves of God's love for us. That's an important stuff that we need to always remind ourselves, that God loves us. And read our Bibles daily. Amen. So, how many know that sometimes God allows us to go into the wilderness to cause us to hunger and thirst for him? Think about the Israelites when Moses was leading into the wilderness. Can you imagine if the story would be totally different if they were hungry and thirsty for the things of God? They wouldn't have to have gone wandering for 40 years. In fact, most of them did not get to see the promised land because they murmured and complained. So we too, God sometimes takes us to a wilderness, takes us to the things, to the dry place sometimes, or takes us to the things that maybe we feel that God is nowhere to be found. But that's the time where we need to begin to hunger and thirst for him. Because the Bible says in everything, in every situation, give thanks. Even when we're in the desert, we got to give thanks. We got to hunger and thirst for him. Amen? I want to share you 3 points to help us understand about hunger and thirsting. The first one, it's just going to be real quick. The first point is only God alone can satisfy our hunger and thirst. There's only God that... We try to satisfy that hunger and thirst with the things of the world, but we can never be satisfied. You know, you look at all these movie stars and musicians, how they have so much money. All these football players, athletes, they have so much money, hundreds of millions of dollars, but a lot of... they're not satisfied. In fact, some of them commit suicide because they're not hungry for the things of God, because only God can fill that hunger and thirst that we have. We cannot seek the hunger of the world. Money is not going to fill our hunger. Fame is not going to fill. Notoriety, all those things, it's only temporal. So only God alone can satisfy our hunger and thirst. It says in Psalm 107, verses 8 and 9, "Let us give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." Isn't that such a great Father we have? He's only going to fill us with good things. The things of the world sometimes will begin to fill us a little bit with good things, but later on, it's not going to fill us with those things that are good to God. It's going to fill us with the things that are good to this world. John 7:37-38 says, "And now on the last day, This scripture is for us today. Now on that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." If anyone is thirsty, come to Jesus and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Oh, how powerful are those assurances that when we hunger and thirst. Another point that is, I like this one. This really resonated in me. We won't be hungry for God until we taste his goodness. Think about that. I got to say that again because it really touched me. I said, why is sometimes I not hungry for God? It's because we need to taste his goodness. Just think about it. Just like food. Think of your most favorite food you like. Because why you like it? It tastes good. You begin to hunger and want more of it. It's the same thing when we taste how good God is. We got to begin to taste how good God is. And you will begin to hunger for what he has for you. Just like food. What does God have for us? And this is just a few things. He has peace, love, joy, forgiveness, grace, mercy. Eternal life. The list goes on. Psalms 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." And then Psalms 119:103, it says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." So we need to hunger for the things of God. We need to begin to taste his goodness and stop tasting the goodness of the things of this world. The world has a lot of good tasting things, but nothing's going to satisfy you other than the taste of God. Amen. And the third thing is we are too easily satisfied with worldly things. I like this scripture. John 1, 2, verses 15 to 17. Just listen to what this says. Okay. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God lives forever." Isn't that just specific words or specific things that we need to do? And that the things that we need to shun and the things that we need to take to heart. Because if we don't feel this strong desire for the hunger of God, and it's not because our spiritual needs have been fully met, it's because we have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Our soul is stuffed with worldly things, and there is no room for God's goodness. Just like the song we sang, we ended with, "Make Room." Let 2025 be a year that we begin to make room for the goodness of God. We begin to remove the things of the world that is keeping us feeling that we're full, where we're actually starving for the things of God. Amen? So that was the first two things that Pastor John was given, was going deep and having a hunger for God. And can you I want you to know that that's why I say to pray and fast for this thing for the church. Because can you know when we make a proclamation of something that the church is going to do for the year, how many know that the enemy is going to try to put a monkey wrench in that and say, "You know what? I don't know. I don't want people to begin to start hungry and thirsty for God. I don't want the church to begin to go deeper. I don't want the church begin to thirst for the things of God, for me." So he's going to bring things in our lives that keeps us away. He's going to cause us to become busy. Remember I said one time, that's the best tool that Satan has, is busyness. He's going to cause us to do things in our life to keep us from going deep, to keep us from hunger and thirsty. So that's why, more than ever, as we're praying and fasting, please keep that in your prayer, that 2025 is going to be a year that we all begin to hunger and thirst. And as we as pastors and leaders begin to share with you, that's going to be our theme for 2025. So share that with your connect group. Share that with your people. We need to begin to hunger and thirst. And this next encounter that I want to share with you, and I wish Brother Doug's son-in-law was here, is called Engage the Fire. Because we know Brother Doug's son-in-law is a fireman. And firemen, when they get the 911 response for fire, their job is to engage the fire. Their job is to put it out. But that's the kind of engaging the fire that the world has. That's not the kind of engaging fire that I'm talking about. We're not talking about putting out a fire. We're talking about that fire being like, as this Bible says, being a consuming fire, a fire that doesn't ever, an eternal flame. That's the engage the fire that I'm talking about. And what we're having on January 13th, please mark your calendar. Please be a part of it. Let 2025 be a thing, like I said, be a thing of new thing, new beginnings. Begin to get out of the familiarity that you'll be going to in 2024 and begin to do new things. Engage the fire. What better way to start 2025 than engaging the fire? It's going to be on January 13th to the 18th. That's, I believe, Monday to Saturday at 6:30 p.m. here at the Door of Faith. So, by all means, please come. And let me tell you what this Engage the Fire means. And this is just what I got from my computer. This is not God's word, but it lines up with it. Engage the Fire means to actively participate in a situation that is intense and focused. And that's what we're going to want to do on those 6 days. It's going to be intense and focused on engaging the fire, often implying a deliberate choice to confront a challenge or difficulty head on, similar to how one might engage with an enemy in combat. Oh, when I read that, I know that's the world's meaning of engaging the fire. But when you look at it from the spiritual aspect, it's exactly what we're going to want to be doing. Law enforcement and SWAT teams are trained to engage the fire, but more so, they're engaged to engage the fire, but terminate the enemy. And that's what we want to do in this Engage the Fire. We're going to come here, and it's going to be focused. It's going to be intense. But our thing is that we want to come with focused prayer and intense passion and devotion, how we have this deep connection, there's that word deep again, with God, with our hearts fully engaged and our prayers expressed with great sincerity and urgency as we engage the enemy and put his tricks and plans to an end. So engaging the fire goes beyond just reciting words. It implies a heartfelt connection with God, with your emotions and desires are actively poured out in prayer and worship. And that's what we're going to be having. I'm pretty sure we're going to have prayer and worship. And know that we are in a battle. And the enemy is here to steal, kill, and destroy. He's not here to play patty cake. He's here to steal, kill, and destroy. He's taking no prisoners. That's Satan. He don't take no prisoners. That is why we need to engage a potential dangerous opponent, Satan, and terminate his threats with prayer, worship, and fasting. Amen? That is why, like a good soldier, we must be fully equipped and put on our armor of God. And let me read Ephesians. When I looked at it in a different perspective, it just brought a whole new meaning. This is Ephesians 6, 10 and 18. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, here it goes again, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace, and in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And this is where it puts everything together. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Amen. So when I looked at that scripture, anytime something is mentioned more than once in the Bible, it's important. It's something that God wants us to really focus on. He said, put on the armor of God. He said it twice. Now we're engaged in a battle. When we don't have our armor, we have no protection. He said that twice. Then he said stand. It's mentioned four times. Without the armor, we can't stand. Without the armor, the enemy's just going to push us any way he wants. But with the armor of God, we're able to stand. And he says it four times. So you know that's very important. And he ends. So put on your full armor of God. And he ends with prayer mentioned three times. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in all kinds of prayers. Keep on praying. That's how the armor becomes effective. I truly believe the armor is not effective if we're not praying. Amen? So come and be a part of God's army on January 13th to the 18th. Mark your calendar and engage the fire and terminate the threats through prayer and worship. Amen? Amen. I just love that. Also, another point I want to make is January is going to be our missions month. Pastor Jacob usually has missions month. You remember last year was August. But this year, he's having it start in January on 26th. So please be here. It's going to be on the 26th all the way to February 16th. And our first speaker will be Pastor James Kang. Those who have been last year, remember, or the year before, remember Pastor James Kang. Also, Moses Kao, he's one of the pastors in Vietnam. We're going to have China Kim, and it's going to end off with Joyce Kitano. She's also, I believe, a pastor Pastor John, Japan. So please, by all means, be here, because I know all you folks will be here, because one thing that this church is a missions church. This church has always been a missions church, because missions is so important. That's why Pastor John made Pastor Jacob our missions director, because his heart, his passion is missions, which all of us here should have a heart and passion for missions. We have Pastor Chris here with Pakistan. We get so complacent here in the Western world how easy it is to serve God. In Pakistan, you can die for your faith. We're never going to die for our faith. We might get yelled at or sweared at, but that's the kind of persecution we put up with. And we think, oh my God, that's so bad. But in these third world, in Pakistan, in North Korea, in Vietnam, people are actually dying for the faith. So we need to support that, the missions. It's so important, because this is what Matthew 24, 40. I just love this scripture, because this shows you how important missions is. and how important, even though we might not be able to go out into the mission field. I know Pastor Jacob wanting me to go. I got to really pray on that. But if we can't go out, we can support, because this is what it says. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached, not might be preached, will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And that's what our missionaries are doing. They're preaching the gospel to the whole world. And this, let me tell you how important this is. This is what it ends with. And then the end will come. God has called missionaries with a big task to share the gospel. And that's what it's all about. The gospel is the good news. And that's what we are called to do, to share the good news. And if we can't share the good news physically going out where the good news are being shared, by all means, we need to begin to support. And as you look at all the flags that our pastor has put up, these and other countries we are supporting. Amen. Your money that you go supports these countries to proclaim the good news so that the end time will come. We always talk about how we're in the last days, but what are we doing to advance the kingdom? Amen? And one way we do it is through missions here at the Door of Faith. Amen? Another thing I want to just real briefly touch on is we're going to start connect groups again. I know some have been going to connect groups for the whole year, which is great. Going to a connect group for the whole year. But we'll be starting connect groups on January 27th, going all the way to March. But did you know who the greatest connect group leader was? Amen, Pastor John. I know everyone knew that. You just didn't want to see it. That's what it is. The greatest, when you look at his life, he was the greatest connect group leader. He started his ministry collecting his connect group, his disciples. Peter, James, and John, Andrew was the first four that he collected. But throughout his ministry, he was a great connect group leader. We need to follow his examples because there were benefits back in his days with all the people he connected with. And the same can be for us today. Things haven't changed. In fact, things have gotten worse. So that is why connect groups are so vital, so important to have a healthy church. And I thank God that Pastor John, years back, started connect groups. It's other churches have life group. There's all different words for it. But basically what it is people coming together, connecting together. And let me share some of the benefits when we come together. One of it is it builds strong community through relationships. That is so important. I think that's one of the most vital things here at God's church. What we need to begin to connect with one another is community through relationships. Also, it helps with your spiritual growth. Amen. I know Pastor John mentioned that church is not a place where we get fed, but church is a place that we begin to do all these things here. Build community, build relationships, study together, receive support, being accountable to others during challenging times. Isn't that so good that I get calls every once in a while, people, I'm just so honored that people would need to call me when they're struggling in hard times. And that's what each and every one of us are here for, that, to help one another. Because why? Iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens another. I've been saying that scripture for years already. But that's what it's all about. We're here to support one another, build one. That's how we grow together and get strong. Because you can never strengthen yourself. If you think you can strengthen yourself, you got to reevaluate your thoughts. Another thing, it deepens one's faith. Doesn't that feel good when we do something good and good things come about? I think that's how God created us to feel. When we do something good, as Pastor John was saying, a mourning family to give, it feels good that we're able to support someone who has gone through some traumatic thing. Because God has created us to that. It deepens our faith. And last, eating together when it comes to God's word. That's what our connect group should be really focused on. It's good to, I mean, I like it how you got, we shared the message before, but even more than that, it's coming together, sharing God's word together, eating together, helping one another together. If someone's hurting, we all are hurting. And that's what a connect group is all about. That's how a church becomes healthy. It's not hearing fantastic messages on Sunday or whatnot. It's the other 6 days what really makes the church healthy. Amen? Let me give you a scripture. Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We can take that scripture to heart because truly, the day of the Lord is drawing near. We see that every day within Israel, in things of the world, in things, even in our island, we see the time coming near. Amen? And the final point that I want to make for the month of January, of course, you know, we have a lot of stuff. But as I said earlier in the very beginning, without transformation, there's no transformation without revelation. I want January to be a year that God begins to reveal to you through these things, through our going deep, our fasting and praying, through our hungering and thirsting, through our engaging the fire, through connect groups. And finally, this last thing that I'm going to touch on is having a series introduction on Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, 1 to 12. You know what? Most of us know what that's all about, Matthew chapter 5. That's what is the Beatitudes, the one, the blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the Beatitudes, and it's also called the Sermon on the Mount. So we'll be doing a series introduction on Matthew 5, 1 to 12, but that Sermon on the Mount, if you really want to go through the whole thing, is chapters 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. So let me just give you a quick history on this Matthew chapter 5, what we're going to kind of be focusing on. Let me go back a chapter in chapter 4 to let you see where we are in Jesus' ministry. Amen? So in chapter 4, we see Jesus starting off being led into the wilderness. That's how chapter 4 starts. Jesus is getting led into the wilderness. Then he begins to preach in Galilee. Then, as I said earlier, he meets his four disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew. And he begins to heal the sick, cast out the demon-possessed people, those who are paralyzed, those who are blind. Then just imagine someone doing that here in the islands, how mass crowds would begin to follow him. And that's what was happening with Jesus as he was performing all these miracles. People from Galilee, Jerusalem, Judea, and the regions across the Jordan began to follow him. So can you imagine how large of a crowd that was? I guarantee you, there was more than 1,000 people. Just imagine when he fed the 5,000. They said this crowd was huge. So we're talking, it could be 10,000. It just was a whole horde of people following Jesus. And that's when we come to Matthew chapter 5. It says that Jesus goes up onto a mountain to teach the people. So I just want you to imagine, we're not talking about a mountain he's going up, like a huge mountain like Mount Everest or a big mountain. We're talking about he went up to like a steep hill. And just imagine, in Galilee, there's a lot of hills in Galilee. So people feel that this happened in Galilee where he would sit on top of a hill. That way the whole horde of people would be able to hear what he has to say. Just imagine how in his days, there was no microphones. There was no video that you can watch things that everyone can see and hear. So, of course, he had to be above everyone so they could get to hear what he had to share. And it says here, the sermon begins with Jesus sitting down to teach, which was normal practice in those days as the rabbis would sit down and teach the people. So in the Matthew's gospel, often describes Jesus sitting down to teach in many different locations, because that was how they did. So that's what he did. He sat down in front of the whole people and started sharing. And this Beatitudes is considered his inaugural address when he outlines his vision for the kingdom of heaven. And he did it a little different. He did a little more radical new perspective on righteousness and happiness by declaring the word blessed. Blessed, those who are typically considered lowly, those who are persecuted in society, those who are poor in spirit, mourners, the meek. This sermon by Jesus was, in his early part of his ministry, it signifies his core principle of his moral and spiritual principles. So Matthew writes that Jesus' disciples came to him. So I thought it meant that his disciples came to him, but his disciples are always there. But it says that the word disciple, what it means is learners and students. So he spoke to everyone who was following him and who was open to hear his message. Those are the disciples. He wasn't just speaking to his 12 disciples. He was speaking to the whole crowd. So each and every one of us here is a disciple. Don't let that word get to you thinking that you got to be like a Peter, James, and John. No, we are, a disciple is a learner or a student. That's what that word disciple means. Each and every one here is a learner and a student of Jesus Christ. It's a relationship with him that involves obedience to his word. That's what it's all about. It's a deep, again, going deeper, commitment and transformative connection with Christ. Amen. That's why in January, let us get transformed. Let these things begin to reveal to us. This revelation begins to transform us as we go deep and hunger for God. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And let me just end today with just two scriptures. The first one is John 13, 34 and 35. It says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And the last scripture, Matthew 28, the last three verses, 19 and 20. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Amen. So that's just a little thing in a nutshell that I was given to share with each and every what's happening in January. And that first thing is coming up is engaging the fire. So please mark your calendar. It starts January 13th. And again, if you haven't started your prayer and fasting, please start that prayer and fasting. And I promise you, you're going to find out how God is going to get you, how he will see those things that you've been, not struggling, but that you have been trying to give to him. But when we begin to fast to the things that of the world and fast the things that are spiritual, That opens that door for us of breakthrough and answered prayer. Amen. So as I come to the end of my message, If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what a way to start 2025 off, by making the greatest decision of your life. Amen? Or if there is something that you need to give to the Lord, you can come up to the altar. Here it says, come to the altar. Or if you need someone, a pastor, to intercede with you, one of our pastors will be able to pray with you. Amen? You can do all this after I pray. Can we all stand? Heavenly Father, thank you for seeing us through another year, seeing us through 365 days of blessing, but allow 2025 to be a year of breakthroughs for those who are going deep with you and who are hunger and thirsting for your presence, for your power, and for your righteousness. Lord, make this month and every other month for us to be able to taste and see that you are good. Help us to strengthen your church by ministering to others through your word and prayer, by building relationships, learning to give of oneself and one's resources, and allow us to hear clearly your plans that you have for us. Teach us to fear your name and your word. Instill in us holy fear so that we may not sin against you. Holy Spirit, as we continue on our journey, help us to teach your ways to one another and speak to the hearts of those with specific talents, and position them to fill in the gaps of various ministries here at your church. Lord, I just thank you, Lord. For I know you have great and mighty plans for us in 2025. All these requests, I humbly ask for you to answer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.